going straight to the hole.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Jayhawk Talk podcast. I am Kevin. Joined with me, as always, on this Super Bowl Sunday, Andrew. How you doing, Andrew?
Pretty good, Kevin. I want to remind the listeners that last year on this very podcast, you predicted the Super Bowl exactly. The winner and the score. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. You'll probably all be listening to this tomorrow. So if Kevin gets it two in a row, then we'll have to move out to Vegas and make some money.
Let's do it. But, let's do that anyway.
Okay.
Like, I'm ready. My bag is packed.
All right. We're good to go. Also, a little housekeeping matter. We're going to rename this podcast the Dick Move Podcast.
Dick Move Podcast.
Dick, because it just comes off the tongue. As another housekeeping matter, I know that we label our podcast as explicit, so it has the E next to it. So it like looks like, you know, when you go to buy a CD in the 90s and it says parental advisory and you see like, oh, that's going to be a dirty CD.
Right.
Like, my mom's not going to let me buy that. Well,
what was your first CD you bought that had the parental thing?
Warren G.
Nice. You know what mine was?
What was yours?
Presidents of the United States of America.
That was explicit?
Yeah.
Oh,
they had like two F words in that entire CD. But
well,
that
which
was,
is how our podcast usually is. Usually we don't do anything. Usually something slips out of your mouth, maybe sometimes my mouth. But this podcast will have a prolific use of the word dick, specifically dick move. So if you have children in the car, probably not appropriate time to listen to the podcast when it usually is. Because Bill Self, if it's appropriate for Bill Self to say it on the radio,
that's what I'm saying.
It'd be appropriate for us to say it.
We're not going to teach you guys how to be good parents here. I mean,
so we're going to have a lot to talk about. Dick move. We're going to do that here shortly. But just to give you a rundown of the rest of the episode, we're going to give you some other talk about K-State in the non-dick move analysis section. Talk about TCU a little bit. Talk about some Super Bowl and some Big 12 prop bets. Because prop bets are big in the Super Bowl.
That's what you do on Super Bowl Sunday.
We need to do some for basketball as well. And then we've got some extensive talk or some pretty important talk about the Big 12. I've only got 4 weeks left in the Big 12, and it's kind of getting crazy up towards the top. I think there's six contenders. But let's first start off by talking about Brandon Green and his dick move, as Bill Self called it.
Yeah, so, you know, I was watching it on TV, and you were watching it there. So I was kind of curious, did you see it happen, you know, live, as soon as it – you know, it happened. Were you thinking anything?
Oh, yeah.
The TV folks had kind of a different view. But I was kind of curious if, like, live, anyone had any kind of reactions, like, in the audience or anything. It was just pretty – it was over, right? You know, we're all waving the wheat. Nothing – yeah, so that's what I expected. So on TV, you know, it was funny because they pan out. You know, they do this kind of big pan out to show the court was still, you know, shown, but they showed the handshake line had started. Self was already to half court, and the crowd kind of reacts, and he just does this kind of turn of his head and looks back and sees that Brandon Green has done this, and everyone kind of did a freeze frame of that shot. It's like, uh-oh. Like, he did not like that. My first reaction was, you know, I think I tweeted something like, Brandon will be running or something like that, you know, something really short. For that dunk. And then I said, but I don't really care because I like dunks. And a lot of people were reacting like, we don't do that at Kansas. That's, you know, whatever. Rah, 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 rah. And I started thinking, yeah, you're probably right.
We don't do that at Kansas, but Brandon Green does that. But Brandon Green does that.
Right. He does do that. And so anyway, like, fast forward like 7 minutes when Self gets on the radio with our boy Greg Gurley and starts it off by saying that Brandon Green's dunk at the end of regulation was a quote dick move on the radio. And that was unfortunately or fortunately, depending on where you're kind of coming from, basically the only thing anyone talked about
this
game.
Yeah, the whole game.
The rest of the game overshadowed the whole game. The entire game. Which, like, if it's, and you go back to like big money Bill Self quotes, like everyone kind of remembers like the Topeka YMCA one after the TCU game. That was a great time to have a money quote that everyone was talking about because the game was awful. Like, anything you could do to get people to not talk about that game was great. This game, we won by 18. Granted, it wasn't like a great performance or anything, but like, it overshadowed the entire game from there forward, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, and let me give you my perspective from the stands. Like, so, you know, at the end of the game, a lot of people start to shuffle out. Everybody's kind of walking down. Rock chalk chants going on. People are cheering, you know, as it's going down. You see the coaches walking towards mid-court. You see everybody kind of walking together. Game's over. And I just felt it was like, you know how you kind of, you know, somebody blows the whistle during a foul and then someone goes up for a shot or someone sure. goes up for a dunk. That's what I thought it was.
Me too.
But the announcer had already come on and said, KU wins 75 to whatever it was. And I'm like, oh, they're probably not going to count that. And then as I'm walking down the stairs, it changes to 77. I'm like, oh, they did count that. Because I couldn't tell if it was after or before the buzzer. I was just kind of looking at everything. Not necessarily.
It was an afterthought. Right.
It was an afterthought. And then like, oh, they did count that. Like, ooh. And so in my head, I'm like, oh, Brandon probably shouldn't have done that. But it was funny. So I thought that what Brandon did was funny, but I thought what Bill Self did was even funnier.
Way funnier.
So I don't really care either way. I just thought it was hilarious. Like, the whole situation is just funny. Now, I don't know what that does to the relationship between those two.
Oh, boy.
And I think that could be its own reality show. I think you had tweeted that, or somebody had tweeted that.
Somebody tweeted that. Yeah, I might have retweeted it.
But Brandon Green, Bill Self, Oscar and Felix, Odd Couple sitcom would probably be on the air for at least 2 years. I think it's renewed.
Probably.
And then one of them would get so mad at the other that they would try to have their own show.
Right.
Or transfer to Nebraska.
Yeah, it's worked for some folks. I don't know how I really feel about it. I really went back and forth so many times here because everyone was talking about it. And like, I kind of fall on the like, who cares side more than anything. I think more than the, oh my God, what a stain on the program, you know, like whatever. Yeah. And the other thing was like, if that had been like the over and it talk about Vegas lines and stuff, if that would have been brutal. But that was the first thing I checked. Like the second it happened, I was like, oh man, I wonder if that did anything. And I already knew that we had, you know, more than covered the, whatever it was, 10 and a half or 12 points. But I was wondering on the total. Well, we came in pretty far under it, so it wouldn't have mattered. But that was the first thing I checked. I was like, oh, man, if Brandon just, like, took it over or something, that would be such a brutal loss.
There's some guys with some slick back hair in Vegas who probably put Brandon's name on a list.
Yeah, no kidding. His
name goes on
there.
A list. So but, let's talk a little bit about the term dick move.
Okay.
I've used it before. I'm sure you've used it before. But do we really know what it means? So we're going to mine a resource that's a popular a location and popular source of information for us here on the Jayhawk Talk podcast, and that is urbandictionary.com.
Yes, yes.
So you've got some definitions pulled up of what a dick move actually is.
Yeah, because I'm not so sure that was a dick move. Like, in my opinion, what is a dick move? I think you got to do something a little bit more of a grievance to call it a dick move. I thought that was just like probably uncalled for. Is that the same thing as a dick move?
like
I don't think
a
so.
A couple degrees below a dick
move. I agree. And so, you know, let's see what Urban Dictionary says. Let me pull this up. Okay, there are multiple definitions, Andrew. I have not read through all of these, but here's one. It's an action by one male to another male friend, which violates understood social expectations, especially where the transgressor obtains a slight advantage in comparison with a relatively large inconvenience imposed upon the aggrieved party. So this is my favorite part of Urban Dictionary, because it started off as like real, you know, terrible definitions and using terrible word choice. And then like every so often you'll come across one that like someone that has probably been college educated has done the definition, and they try really hard to make like big words for Urban Dictionary. Anyway, this is one of those. But here's an example. It was a dick move when Tom encouraged several dancers at the strip club to order drinks, then left his friend Bill to pick up the tab.
Ooh, dick move.
Dick move, right? That's a dick move. Okay, here's another one. Tom and Bill were both interested in the same girl at the bar. when Tom falsely insinuated to the girl that Bill had erectile dysfunction. Dick move?
That was a dick move.
Dick move.
I actually think that this fits, that what Brandon Green did fits this definition.
You think so?
Yeah. Violates understood social expectations. It is a social expectation that you do not score when the game is over like that, when you're dribbling the ball out. Especially where the transgressor obtains a slight advantage in comparison with a relatively large inconvenience imposed on the aggrieved party. I don't think the K-State was inconvenienced, but it's a slight advantage in the terms of we won by 18, not 16, when they were not guarding us. So it changes in terms of how the game is viewed, how the game is perceived.
All right. Here's another definition. An act that is seen as mean or negative. Okay, that's it. But he gives some examples. Okay. There's multiple levels of dick move. And I thought this one was interesting because, like, maybe it's like a level one dick move that we saw. Okay. And there's like multiple
levels. All right, I like when we get into these tiers here.
Yeah, me too. All right, so here's a level one. It's something minor and insignificant, i.e., like throwing someone's external hard drive into the bathtub.
That's not minor.
That sounds terrible.
That's a level one?
That's what it says. All right. Okay, here's level two. Level two, dick move, is something like that asshole in charge of the Titanic who let it sink. So that's level two dick
move.
Okay,
well, yeah. That's obviously bigger than level one, but we're escalating quickly.
There is a level three. I'm not sure I want to talk about it, but yeah. You can guess that it gets pretty bad.
And actually, there's level four if you go down to that next section.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah, so this guy has four really levels, and it escalates incredibly quickly. I think there should be 10 levels, and what he did was probably a level one.
I think he started at level six on this.
Yeah, I think so.
And then went on. All right, so here's another one. Oh, this one's a little more literal, which I always appreciate very literal definitions. A dick move is when you tell someone named Dick to move out of the way.
Oh, so that does not fit that definition.
No, that one doesn't work. There are some other definitions, more literal ones that I don't think I want to get into, but you could probably kind of figure out what those are.
UrbanDictionary.com, look up dick move. Let us know what you think. Was it a dick move? I think it was.
But I don't think it was.
Level one.
I don't think it was. I'll go with level one, not this guy's level.
Our levels. Level one.
I will allow that. I do think that Self blew way out of proportion, unfortunately. I kind of said the next day that I bet he regrets saying that. Maybe kind of wishes he could take back those words. Because, like, as you said, all the blowback on Brandon Green, like, online was bad. I mean, people were tweeting stupid shit. It just drives me nuts. But none of that probably would have happened had Bill Self not made it a bigger deal than it was. I think the right answer was, yeah, I did see that Brandon did put a basket up there at the end. We don't do that at Kansas, and we will definitely be handling that internally. Like, if he just said something like that, everyone's like, oh, Brandon's going to be running. Oh, you know, like, that's it. That would have been the reaction, and then it would have been over. But he, like, made it such a big deal.
But I did like that he did it. It gives us something funny to talk about. I hope someone kept track of that audio, because I'm sure KU's burying that audio and not letting it out there. Because I want a techno remix of him saying dick move. I don't know how to do that. I hope someone out there puts that together.
Yeah. If you have the audio, if anyone has it, please send it to me. JayhawkTalk@gmail.com. We have to find a way to put that in the drop.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Because we could use that for years.
Yeah.
Till the end of time, that could be immortalized.
JayhawkTalk@gmail.com.
All right, let's move on and talk about the actual K-State game just for a little bit.
We have to?
I just want to talk about a couple things. We did win 77-59, not 75-59, as stated by the announcer there at Allen Fieldhouse. A couple things I want to talk about and want to get your thoughts on is that we kind of had the exact same start and end to each half, and that we started off incredibly bad and then were really good. So in the first half, at the 10-minute mark, I went back and looked this up. At the 10-minute mark, we trailed 18-10. So we were down 8 points and had only scored 10 points through the first 10 minutes. And then the end of the first half, in the last 10 minutes, we went on a 29-11 run to take a 10-point lead. So, you know, completely different play, completely different energies that we put out there. Second half, same thing happened. At the 12-minute mark, K-State got it back to within two at 45-47. And then we finished on a 30-14 run to win by 18, not 16. But, I mean, we have trouble getting going at the beginning of halves. And this isn't just this K-State game that this has happened. This has been other games.
Yeah, it does kind of make you wonder if there was a little bit of a hangover. I don't know. It was a strange kind of start to that game. And, you know, they did kind of figure it out. They kind of started making some shots. And I don't know at any point if I felt like, gosh, this was going to be a problem. It was just, they were kind of sleepwalking, just needed to wake up. I thought Perry played well. You know, the guy, though, that kind of came off and gave a spark, and maybe we'll get to this in a little bit, but Sfi, man, coming off the bench, that's kind of when the run started.
Absolutely. Yeah, he played great.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a couple other things. I think most importantly, we were out rebounded by K-State by 15. It was 36 to 21.
That's rough.
36 to 21. And K-State's usually a great rebounding team. That's why their defensive numbers are always, you know, pretty great. They're, you know, statistics wise and analytics wise. But we kind of negated that a little bit in that they turned the ball over 23 times. Not going to win many games when you turn the ball over 23 times.
Right. Yeah, I think that the difference was, you know, kind of getting Perry going. You know, we were taking some good shots and when we were actually running and playing well. And I don't know what Perry's numbers were, like 9 of 11 or 8 of 10 or 8 of 11 or something like that. But he started getting some really good looks, and I think that helped a lot. You know, also when you take good shots, there's fewer rebounding opportunities. K-State took a lot of bad shots, and we're trying to launch threes, which they're just not very good at. So they were getting some long rebounds there. And I don't know. At no point did I feel like, oh my God, we are getting absolutely murdered on the boards. Did you feel like that at all in the game?
There's a couple times.
I mean, I understand that we did, obviously, but it wasn't like the one thing that, God dang, you know, they're getting every second chance, you know, opportunity or anything like that. But I don't know. Maybe it was, and I just wasn't paying attention. But when I looked down at the end and saw we got out rebounded by so much, I was like, really? Gosh, that's crazy. But that changed the next game.
Yeah, that definitely changed the next game. I think we'll go over that. I think that was a point of emphasis in practice. It was obvious to see. Let's close out the K-State game by talking about two players, both bad and good. Wayne Selden, our first candidate. Complete opposite set of games, you know, this TCU game and K-State game. Complete opposite than what happened at Kentucky.
Yeah, he was a no-show. Like, I never remembered a moment in the game where Wayne was, like, there. You know what I mean? You know, he obviously made his presence known in the Kentucky game. He was doing everything right, taking good looks, you know, getting to the basket. But like, he was, I don't even remember. I see he played 24 minutes or something, but I know he had a couple fouls, but he scored 7 points off 3 of 9 shooting. Like, I don't remember any of them. I don't know, man. This is the Wayne's, this is Wayne Selden though. Like, he started off so strong, like pretty consistent, but like, ever since Big 12 play started, he has just been up and down, and I think that's just what we're going to have to expect.
Yeah, and go back these past two games, K-State and TCU, 1 for 9 from three in those two games. Just keeps
and they weren't close.
No, just keeps casting them up. You know, and he was the second leading three-point field goal by field goal percentage, three-point field goal percentage in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Going into those. If those start going in, we're going to be an incredible team, but this team is going to go as Wayne Selden goes. Perry has been a rock, you know, consistently scoring 20 points a game, getting 9 rebounds. That's we can expect that, but we don't know what to expect out of Wayne Selden. Let's move on and talk about some good though. The rise of Sviatoslav.
Yes, it's about time.
So
you know, like,
Wayne's foul trouble led to him getting, I think it's 21 minutes and 24 minutes in the past two games. In the K-State game, scored 10 points, had 3 steals, looked pretty good on defense. TCU did not look good on defense. If only Sfi rhymed with defense instead of free. Because I think that
Sfi-fence.
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 Sfi-fence. All right, I think we just found out a way to get into this. All right, okay. Sfi-fence. Oh, I completely missed this.
I don't know where you're going with this.
Because we have a name. We have a name for it.
All right, good. But, he had 4 assists too in those minutes. I mean, he was playing well. He was doing everything right. He was getting to the basket, taking good shots, made a 3. You know, like he and playing some good defense. He was good, man. And at a time when Brandon actually didn't play terrible, but you know, Brandon only got 6 or 7 minutes, and one of those, of course, was at the end. He did hit 2 threes, I think Brandon did. He hit that 1 4-pointer. I don't remember if the other one was a three, but anyway, man, Sfi might be getting some of those Brandon minutes now, and even in this TCU game, Sfi might be getting some of those Wayne minutes now.
I
don't know.
I think he deserves to be out there. He is a liability on Sfi fence occasionally. Loses his guy, and it's not always obvious, but sometimes it's incredibly obvious where he traces the wrong guy and he leaves a back door opener. It's sometimes painful to watch, but something interesting to watch for is going to be Sfi's minutes going forward. You know, he's a folk hero here on the Jayhawk Talk, so we want him to play just because we want to talk about him. Well, let's move on and talk about TCU. Just briefly, kind of a uninspired game. I mean, we won by 19, but I mean,
good first half. Good first 15 minutes.
And we've had those games before where we get up by so much and then just kind of coast.
Yeah, and you know, I think it was important to get off to a good start because we obviously had lost what, 3 in a row on the road, or 3 of 4, and I don't remember. But we have not been playing well on the road is the point. And they brought out that little mini press at the beginning of the game, which I thought might have, you know, helped set the tone early to show that, you know, we were going to bring some energy. And maybe that's something to think about in multiple, you know, games going forward, that if you got a feeling that, gosh, we're going to need something to happen early, maybe busting out that press could do it. I don't think we're great at it, but, you know, evidenced by TCU kind of burning it a couple times and it went away, but under that first timeout, they weren't quite expecting it. So, but yeah, I think this was good. It was a good win. You know, TCU did beat Texas there and inside their arena. So that was, you know, they've had one good win there. I had never thought that it was going to be a close game. And obviously they put it away under the first 10 minutes, which is nice.
I think so too, but let's talk about the shot selection. Our threes are just not falling. Devontae Graham is the only person who can make threes. From three, we were 6 for 22. That's 27%. You know, and we were averaging above 50. I mean, we were tops in the country in 3-point percentage at one point. 27% is not going to cut it. But from two, we were killing it in the paint. We were 23 for 36 for 64%.
Which is way higher than we have been.
Yeah, and that's including all of Frank Mason's just drive to the lane and see if you can chuck it off the backboard.
3 for 11.
So, you know, you take out Frank Mason on that. I mean, our 2-point percentage is going to be incredible. So, I mean, things we know we can fix. If those three start going in, we're going to be a pretty scary team. But it just seems like when we're winning by 19, but if we can get all these things put together, we're going to be a scary team. But we haven't really done that in a while.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. Devontae actually has been stroking it. I think in rhythm, I don't mind him shooting any 3-pointer like the rest of the season. Like when he's got a good look, and he seems to get a lot of good looks, especially when they kind of go inside and then kick back out. You know, I have no problem with him shooting. In fact, I'd rather him shoot than some other guys on the team.
Well, and he's great at finding spots. You know, they always seem to find him. Where the closeout to get back to Devontae is just an incredible feat for the defense. So he always just seems to find himself open. And I don't know if that's a product of how they're setting up their offense or if it's kind of just, it's probably a little bit of both, but
probably
it could be Devontae just kind of knowing where to be, knowing how to play his defender.
Spacing, and I think you're right. And if he can develop that drive, he's shown a little bit of ability to get in the paint and then kind of throw up that little short jumper or something like that. If he can learn how to drive and obviously still get in that spot, like you're mentioning, and then be able to take the ball off the dribble, his game will expand so much more. And obviously making some threes helps a lot, because then you got to start respecting that. So we'll see. I'm actually really happy with the way Devontae's playing. I think for some reason, some people didn't like him playing a lot. You know, I see on Twitter, like, people are like, Devontae, or I never really felt that way. I thought, you know, he's been playing pretty well. But anyway, just me. Maybe I'm alone there. I did look down and see that Svi went 1-for-5 in this game, even though everyone was like, oh, Svi played well.
I think but he did play well. He just didn't shoot well.
He didn't shoot well.
I mean, and yeah. Bill left him in. They played 24 minutes.
Yeah. Yep.
And didn't really accumulate any other stats, though. He had one offensive rebound and one block.
Yeah, that was almost a 24 trillion. That would have been pretty impressive. I don't know what to think of the quote at the end of the game where Self said that Brandon Green said he was tight and didn't want to go in the second half. That was kind of weird. Did you hear this?
No, I did not hear that. I don't believe that.
It makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Probably tight from all those stairs he was running. I don't know. But yeah, he told assistant coaches he was tight, and then they relayed that to Self, and that's why he didn't play in the second half. That was the explanation anyway. So not sure what to make of that. I think we will find out if he plays much against West Virginia. I wouldn't read a ton into whether he plays a lot versus West Virginia, because that's not a great matchup for him.
No, you know,
it's not a great matchup for Wayne either, though, as we saw in the first game. So we'll see what happens there. We'll talk about that when we get there.
Okay, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about the big game coming up today. Just quickly, you know, last year you predicted the Super Bowl exactly. Winning team and score. Let's do it again.
I'm going to go with, I think Carolina wins. I think it is 27-21.
Ooh, so that would be a Denver beating the spread. Is it 6.5?
No. Oh, is it 6.5? I thought it was 5.5 or something.
I think it's 6.5. Well, if it's 6.5, then Denver.
Yeah, there you go. 27-21. You heard it here first.
I'm going to go Denver 27-20.
Ooh.
Opposite
time. All right, we'll see. Do you have some prop bets for this Super Bowl?
I do. We're going to a party later on, and we're doing lots of props, like tons of props. We're doing Super Bowl bingo, where the middle is Peyton Manning saying Omaha. We're doing prop bet pools, and we got a craps board that our buddy Pay_Heed set up, where you basically put odds on, like, the next commercial is going to be a Hyundai commercial, and then you put your money down. Or the next commercial is going to be our
Nationwide.
Yeah, the next play is going to be 1 to 3 yards. All right, whatever. So anyway, I wanted to do some props for basketball.
Got how much money do I need to bring to this party?
I don't know. I was going to bring like 20 ones.
All right.
Maybe more.
Where do you get ones on a... I don't know. Anyway, we'll have to talk about this.
It's not open. I don't know. I'll bring some ones.
Okay, we'll figure this out. All right, do you have any prop bets for the Super Bowl that we need to talk about?
Yeah, so these are the next two games or the rest of the season. During the West Virginia post-game press conference.
Okay, we're getting right into this. All right.
What word will Bill Self say first? This is the Gurley podcast, the Gurley interview.
Okay.
You ready? Good, 2-1. Great, 6-1. Terrific, 10-1. Dick, 500-1.
I think the best play here is terrific at 10-1. Good at 2-1 is probably the most likely, but I think the odds are in your favor there at terrific at 10-1.
Okay, so you're going with terrific?
I'm going with terrific.
A little bit of value bet.
Terrific.
All right.
Yep.
What will be the dominant color of Bill Self's tie? Ready?
Yep.
Red, 3-1. Blue, 3-1. Yellow, 6-1. Purple, 13-1. Other, 4-1.
I think yellow is way overvalued here at 6-1 because we're playing West Virginia. I think that should be more like 30-1. I don't think he'll wear yellow. I'm going to go blue. Blue at 3-1.
Okay.
Where are you at?
I'm taking the book? Money. I'm the book. So okay. I'm going to just take all your money. And
all right. Sounds good.
When you lose them all. Who will get the first dunk for KU? Okay. It's a pick'em between Perry and any other.
Other.
Just for context, Perry has 6 dunks in the last 2 games.
I know, he's been killing it. It makes me so happy, but I'm going to take the other.
Okay.
I got to take the field against Perry. Although, over the last 2 games, I think Perry has probably out-dunked the field. and maybe not close. I remember a couple Landon dunks. I think Wayne had a dunk, but anyway, there you go. I'm taking the field.
Who will win the Pizza Hut Frisbee toss?
Pepperoni.
Okay. Obviously, pepperoni's going to win. Green pepper, sorry. All right. You've got a couple. We did a lot of these last year, but you've got a couple newer ones.
Okay. How many games will Brandon Green be suspended from here on out? The over-under is 1.5.
Ooh, so you're already assuming that there's going to be at least one.
At least one.
So, like,
one.
It's built into it. It's not half.
Right.
You know, it's he's going to go at least one. Is he going to be suspended for two?
Is it going to be multiple games or just one or less?
I'm going to take the under, but I don't feel good about it at all.
Okay. That's fair. Here's kind of a more Big 12 one. How many teams does the Big 12 have in the tournament? Over, under, what is it, 6.5?
6.5 would be. I'm going to go under because I don't think K-State gets it.
Man, they had a good win this
week.
They
did. We'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Woo!
We were rooting for them. I hate to do that. But
I know, it felt really dirty. Okay, that's all I got. All right, here's one. I'm sorry. Will KU win the Big 12 this year? Because right now, I think we'd probably be an underdog to Oklahoma.
Yeah, or West Virginia, really.
All right, so I think you set the odds with OU, KU, and West Virginia and other. All things equal, who do you take?
I'll take KU.
Do you?
I do. Value bet, and that's what I want to do.
Fair enough. All right. I was the book, so I don't have to choose.
Okay. Well, I'll make you choose later in different contexts.
Fair enough.
Let's preview these next couple games. I think KU could win or lose the Big 12 this week. I don't think it'll be completely decided, but this is really going to shape the rest of the race for the remaining Big 12 season. So there's 4 weeks left. There's 8 games left. We're going to start off with West Virginia at Allen Fieldhouse on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. I don't really like these 6 o'clock games.
I don't like Tuesday games either.
Tuesday games, but we got to get some redemption here. At the moment, as we speak, West Virginia is in first place in the Big 12 with
a record of
8-2. We don't want to talk too much about this, but the last meeting, a 74-63 loss in Morgantown in a disaster of a game. Perry showed up, but no one else did. We couldn't stop their guards.
Should have gone zone.
Yeah, Jayshon Page scored 26 off the bench, made 14 free throws. Devin Williams made 9 of 12 free throws for 17 points. The free throw disparity in that game was 47 attempts to 22 attempts in favor of West Virginia. And I'm not saying that there was an incredibly unfavorable whistle. I didn't, when we were watching that, I don't think it was, you know, outrageous, but you see that 47-22 and you just say, wow. We also had 22 turnovers, one of our most of the year, probably our most of the year. And I also want to talk about last year down the Fieldhouse. Do you remember that game, senior night?
Yeah.
Down 14 at halftime. We were down by as many, I think it's 18 in the second half. We battled back to force overtime, eventually get a win. 70-69. Perry was injured very early in that game, if you remember. And I think he missed the next game at Oklahoma. But, Kevin, kind of tell me about keys to victory here. How are we going to turn this around after that disaster in Morgantown?
Well, the good news is they're not going to shoot 47 free throws in Allen Fieldhouse. I'm not sure anyone's ever shot 47 free throws in Allen Fieldhouse. And take that for however you want to take it. But we ought to be able to have a little bit better whistle. I think since that game, we've kind of figured out where we're exposed in terms of our defense. I do think that they'll continue to use the same game plan. Whether we execute it better this time is a good question. Obviously, Self has shown that he's willing to go to a little zone if we need to. I think he will in this game if it comes to it. I know that everyone was kind of wondering why he didn't at West Virginia. But if it comes to it, I think they will in this game because it does start to matter for the league race. And the good news is, you know, I think they're not going to be surprised by anything now. Like, I think, I don't know, West Virginia hit them in the mouth a little bit and they were just kind of just never were able to react or counterpunch or anything. In this game, they're going to have their full attention. And I think they'll do better, you know, a better job of taking care of the ball and trying to you know, move it around and get good looks. And hopefully Perry shows up like he did last time. And I do think that we will win this game. I actually feel really good about it. And whatever that means, you know, I felt pretty good when we played at West Virginia too. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, we're saying the same things. If we can take care of the ball, we've got two great point guards who are on the floor at the same time. If they can, you know, calm down, not turn the ball over, it should be a game that discipline can win, that, you know, not being flustered by the press. We said that last time, but I think that in Allen Fieldhouse, we're going to be a little more comfortable. We know what they're going to do. So we'll see how West Virginia comes in Allen Fieldhouse and does. Can you give us a prediction?
Yeah, I think we win by 8 or 9 points. I think this is a good KU win. I don't know, 75-67.
All right.
I think KU plays really well in this game.
Okay.
Just a very hunchy, but just the feeling that I have.
That would be an incredible boost to their Big 12 hopes. Let's move on and talk about Oklahoma in Norman. It's College Game Day again, so it'll be our second College Game Day of the year. The game's at 1:30 on Saturday. This game is huge. This game's huge not only for the Big 12, but this will be a huge game nationally.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. I don't know what to think of this game, man, because, like, the good news is, like, Oklahoma has shown that they can lose. I mean, obviously, they lost to K-State this week, didn't play well. That's kind of the first time in a while we've seen them kind of throw up a stinker. I think the other one was at Oklahoma State when they almost lost and probably should have lost. And so, you know, they're capable of it. But also at the same time, I mean, they will be uber motivated for this game. It's going to be a wild game. Game day is going to be in town. Like, we probably didn't need that to happen. That's just like another thing that's there. And these aren't, you know, young guys that might be concerned with the moment or anything. They're all veterans. So I don't feel great about that game, but I do think that we need to win it to win the Big 12. I mean, I think a lot of people think that. I'm not sure Oklahoma is going to drop any that they're not supposed to the rest of the way. So this would be a huge one for KU.
Yeah, I don't think that a loss there automatically puts us out of it. But I think a win in Oklahoma puts us in the driver's seat, puts us kind of in control of our own destiny, assuming we get a win at West Virginia. So, you know, it's important that if we're going to win the Big 12, we win this game. We're not cooked. We're not, you know, buried dead in the ground if we don't win. But, man, it's going to be pretty tough to do it if we lose that game.
I did notice that Oklahoma only has one game, you know, between now and then. So do we. But ours is Tuesday. Theirs is Monday. They play Texas at Oklahoma. So that could be an interesting game. Texas is playing well. I think that, you know, hopefully they're looking ahead, or you know, obviously they just lost to K-State, so maybe they regroup and murder Texas. But that'll be an interesting game as well. So something to watch there on Monday night, kind of gearing us up for Tuesday and then obviously Saturday.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the Big 12. Do we have a Big 12 drop?
Do we have to?
Yeah.
Do you really want me to do that?
People love it.
Do they?
I do.
Yeah, all right. As you are talking about the Big 12, I have to pull up my drop board here. Like, I was not prepared. This is great podcasting. Y'all ready for this? There we go.
What's that for me? I'm a man. I'm 40.
How about playing a little defense? You ever heard of that one, Stan?
BCS. BCS.
Dollar sign.
Man, hearing that Frank Martin little tidbit in there. How about Frank Martin, man? South Carolina? Like, you're not supposed to win at South Carolina. They just went in and beat Texas A&M yesterday.
You know, they were one of the last teams undefeated.
Yeah.
I don't think they're great, but they're pretty good.
They didn't play anybody, but they keep winning games.
They're Frank Martin team. That's a Frank Martin team.
That's a Frank Martin team.
It only took a couple of years, but he eventually got there. All right, let's talk about the Big 12, though, the real Big 12. Top story of the week, I think. OU goes down to K-State.
Yes.
80-69. I think this makes the Big 12 more up for grabs than it was. West Virginia, as we said before, is now in sole possession of first, but there are five other teams within two games of first place with 8 games to go. So it's really a 6-way race. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think some are obviously in better positions than others, but it's definitely a three-horse race. And, you know, with some things breaking the right way, you could see Iowa State, Baylor, and Texas, if, you know, they can come in and take care of some business too. So we'll see.
And so let's just go through those contenders. West Virginia, Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas, Baylor, Iowa State. And then you've got the bottom guys, K-State, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, and TCU, probably with no shot. But, you know, what's it going to take for KU to win? You know, I want you to take a look at the calendar, take a look at the schedule. I didn't do too much analysis on this because it's just, who knows? There's a lot of games to be played. But what are the crucial games you see coming up that KU probably got to win, or that, you know, those flash points, those highly critical games that are really going to decide whether we get 12 or not?
It's absolutely critical that they win every game at home. I think everyone agrees with that. I mean, you have to win every game at home. That includes West Virginia on Tuesday, and that includes the Iowa State coming into town as well, which are probably the two remaining very difficult games. And Iowa State cleaned their clock, man. So that is not a given, certainly. And same with West Virginia. So those two are very important just to get started. Basically, if they lose one of those games, I think they're done. So got to win at home, take care of the home court. And then they got to win at least one or two of at Oklahoma, at Texas, and at K-State. At Baylor. So there's four games that are going to be tough. OU, K-State, Baylor, and Texas, all road games. I think they have to win at least two of them to win the Big 12. If they don't win at least two of them, I don't think they win the Big 12. And they may need to win three. So, like, that's kind of, you know, I personally where I think it comes down to those games. And then obviously taking care of business against Oklahoma State and Texas Tech at home and whatever there. So, but I think those games are the big ones. The two home games against West Virginia and Iowa State, and then got to win at least two of those four. Is that where you kind of fall?
I think so, too. Just to talk, you know, about what OU's got ahead of them, they still have to go to West Virginia and to Texas. Those are probably their toughest road games left. They've also got at Texas Tech, which, you know, we would like to root for Texas Tech in those situations. You know, maybe they can pull it off, but unlikely. But, you know, those are probably the two flashpoints. At TCU at the end of the season, not going to be much of a struggle for OU. So I think that in terms of, you know, look at KU, OU this weekend, and then if OU is going to lose any other games, it'll be at West Virginia and it'll be at Texas. But
that's scary because their road looks easier than ours, you know. When you look at the road games still remaining versus the ones we have to play. And that's kind of why this game against Oklahoma means so much, man. If KU can somehow go in and beat OU this week, I think that changes everything.
And just to finish off the contenders, let's see what West Virginia has to do. West Virginia still has to come to KU, and that is this week. They have to go to Texas, and they have to go to Baylor and to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's playing well at home, so they've got a tough road ahead of them too.
Yeah,
I mean, as well as hosting Oklahoma. So, I mean, this is going to be a battle for everybody.
So they have a couple tough home games still with Oklahoma and Iowa State. And then, they've got a couple tough road games too, obviously, at Kansas and at Texas. So, you know, we kind of saw this from the beginning, at least the beginning of the Big 12. I think it's just who's going to survive, you know, and everyone's going to kind of beat up on everybody else. But does 13-5 get it done? Because at that point, you know, when I was saying KU wins two of those four road games, that's 13-5. Does 13-5 get a share, or is it gonna have to? Are they gonna have to figure out a way to win three of those four games to get to 14-4?
You know, it's gonna be close. 14-4. It may 14-4 may have to do it.
I know, and that's what's scary, man. So there is very little margin for error. I mean, very. And everyone that's kind of talking about, oh, you know, KU will find a way to do it or whatever else. I mean, you start looking at the games remaining and, I don't know. I think KU's probably not, you know, most of the time you would say KU or the field. I'm definitely taking the field this year at this point. And I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, but it's a tough road ahead.
And I also wouldn't be surprised if it's like a four-way tie.
That'd be great.
It was almost a four-way tie last year. If like a ball bounces a couple different ways in that West Virginia game, I think it's a four-way tie.
That'd be so awesome. That'd be so funny. Like everyone's got a banner for 2016. Like every single, you know, everyone's got T-shirts that say they were the Big 12 champs that year. But hey, man, that's how the rules are written. Whatever. That's how we got 12 straight. So anyway, we'll see. I think that this week, like you said, is a huge week. We got to beat West Virginia at home, and that's a given. And then somehow, some way, if they figure out a way to beat Oklahoma on the road, it's a whole new ball game.
I agree. Let's do power rankings for this week.
All right, I'm actually ready. The power lies on their side. Go, go, Power Rankers! These are the only drops we do anymore. I think we forget how to that about the other ones. Like we made some.
Those are the two.
Like
those are the two best
started.
Ones. Well, let's work on some drops. Let's find the Dick Move audio. Put that into.
We
gotta
do that.
Maybe we'll have a Dick Move of the week.
We did have. We do have this one that I really like. Bitch, I'm Frank Mason. That was Bitch, I'm Frank Mason.
Okay, we gotta use that more often.
I know. I think we definitely need to use that more.
Okay, power rankings. I'm gonna put West Virginia number one because they are by record number one in the Big 12.
I can't do it. I disagree.
Okay, what are you gonna do?
I got OU first.
Okay, well I have OU too. Mostly because I want to put the two we're playing this week ahead of us.
That's fair.
Not
they're
under,
ahead of us in KenPom.
That's right. Not underestimate them as we go into this week. Make it more epic when we get those wins. So KU, yeah. I have at three. I have Iowa State at four. Although, let's talk about Iowa State for a second. Jamil McKay suspended for this Oklahoma State game this past weekend. They did not look good.
No.
Especially in the first half. They trailed for a long time. They eventually came back. Got the win, but it was tough. Not hearing great things about Jamil McKay in terms of
What's the story there? Have you
heard his health. This is not official and it's not sourced, and just kind of what I've heard through the grapevine is that his knee is not doing well. He didn't want to practice because of the knee, and Steve Prohm was not having it, so he suspended him. And I think that McKay had said his suspension was not like he didn't do anything illegal. He didn't do anything bad. It's not like he, you know, stole from JCPenney in Manhattan, Kansas. But
I think it was Dillard's.
Whatever. Whatever it was. But so it'll be interesting to keep track of whether Jamil McKay plays and if he does play, what that knee is going to look like going forward. Because without him, that team's probably going to struggle.
They are such a different team when he's on the court. I mean, he gives such a different element. I remember when he first kind of showed up there and everyone was like, oh, well, Iowa State now has their missing piece. You know, like he needed a rebounder, needed a rim protector. He changes that team so much. And yeah, I think you're right. I think he's a huge loss if he is out for an extended amount of time. I don't know that he will be. I will bet you just about anything he'll be back for the KU game. what do you want to bet there?
Right. Well, and it's also interesting to see, like, is this how Steve Prohm's going to run the program? Where is he going to make players practice, make players play if they're injured? Whereas Fred Hoiberg, such an easygoing, laid-back guy. If a guy would come up to him and say, I need to skip practice because of my knee, or I need to skip this game because I need to get healthy, probably wouldn't think twice about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Bill Self would probably be on the other side, though. You gotta show some toughness.
You know, absolutely. But, I mean, just to show distinctions between those two Iowa State coaches. All right, let's move on from Iowa State. Well, I have a number four. Baylor, number five, because, you know, that's where we put them.
Right.
Six, Texas. Seven, K-State. Eight, Oklahoma State. Nine, Texas Tech. 10, TCU.
That sounds right.
All right.
I think that's right. I think K-State, though, man. I'm trying to tell you, I think they have a chance to be a tournament team.
Okay, well, I agree, but they're seven. I mean, if they're going to be the seventh team, not any higher. I mean,
K-State is now up to 39th in KenPom.
That's great, but they got to get some wins. And they did get a win. They got a great win against Oklahoma this week, but there's got to be some more if they're going to make the tournament.
They got through their tough stretch. Now they've got, you know, Baylor at home, which they if they win that game, that KenPom's got them favored to win it. And then at Oklahoma State and TCU. So if they can win the next three games, Baylor and home, and then at Oklahoma State and at TCU, I don't know, man. They're starting to look a little better, so we'll see.
Let's talk about the games coming up this week. Monday, Oklahoma State at TCU. No one cares. Texas at OU. That's going to be the game everyone's watching.
Right.
Texas always seems to pick off OU in weird situations where they're not supposed to. For example, the football game earlier this year where OU only loses one game to a terrible, terrible Texas football team. Maybe it'll happen again. We'll be watching for that on Monday. Tuesday, obviously, West Virginia comes to Allen Fieldhouse. We've talked about that. Wednesday, Baylor goes to K-State. Iowa State goes to Texas Tech. I would put that an upset alert there. I think Iowa State's lost some games in Lubbock, just like a lot of people have. I think they lost last year, the year before. Texas Tech playing well, just not getting the wins. If there's no McKay, I think that Iowa State's in for some trouble.
Yep, they got a chance there.
Okay, let's talk about the weekend games. TCU at West Virginia. K-State at OSU. Texas Tech at Baylor. Texas at Iowa State.
Okay.
Pretty good. Okay. And then, obviously, KU goes to Norman to play the Sooners. Interesting slate of games. Maybe the KU-OU game, the Texas-Iowa State game. But that's all we've got for Big 12. This will be the week that kind of determines how the rest of this is going to play out. I don't think it can be won or lost, but this week will shape how everything develops.
I think you're right. I'm not sure how it's going to play out. Did you ever give a prediction for the Oklahoma-KU matchup?
I will go KU wins 70-69.
Really? Do you really feel like that? I mean,
Well, this is why I think that. I think that we can get up for this game, and we almost won last year without Perry Ellis. Similar teams, you know, going back. We can win in Norman. We can.
Okay. I hope you're right. I just don't know. I don't know. Obviously, like, this is going to be a huge stage.
I don't know either, but...
I mean... I'm saying I don't know. Like, I don't feel comfortable saying that they'll win. I think the difference is, like, Buddy finds a way, man, in this kind of big stages, and I fear Buddy. I fear Buddy.
And you should. We should.
Yeah. I know. So we'll see. Maybe we'll go boxing one on Buddy. Wouldn't that be fun? And, you know, Frank did a pretty good defensive job on Buddy when he was playing, when he was playing that game. So we'll see. I don't know how that's going to shape up. I feel a little uncomfortable with that game, though. I'll just say that.
Okay.
I think we're going to lose.
Okay.
But I really want us to win. I really, really want us to win, because I think that changes, like you said, changes everything in the Big 12 race.
I think so, too. Well, I hope everyone enjoys the AFC versus NFC championship game later on today. In American style football. Kevin predicts what again?
I don't remember.
It's 27-21 Panthers.
That sounds right.
I picked 27-20 Broncos. Oh, let's close out by talking about Aqib Talib. I was watching some Super Bowl preview today, and I forgot how much I love Aqib Talib.
Dude, he's the best.
I just love hearing him being interviewed. I love his perspective on things. I want a... Not that I have the same perspective. I just like hearing it. I want an Aqib Talib reality show.
Oh, I God. Think
it would be incredible. Take him back down to South Oak Cliff, or I think he's from South Oak Cliff, wherever he's from in Dallas, and just kind of watch what he does in the off season. I think he would get a million eyeballs.
Are you cheering for Denver because of the Jayhawks on there?
I think
so. Are you going
Broncos,
for Denver?
But it's still the Broncos. I hate the Broncos.
I hate the Broncos. I'm not cheering. I cannot find a way to cheer for the Broncos.
But I think it'll be good to have two Jayhawks with Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
So it's a struggle for me. I like the Panthers a lot, but there's two Jayhawks on it. So I think I'm going to root for the Broncos for that reason. I'm going to root for the Bronco defense and then just not care about the offense.
Fair enough.
So I'm hoping for, like, Aqib Talib.
Aqib Talib will have a pick six in this game.
And a Chris Harris pick six, and then they win 14-0.
There you go. That'd be okay. I could deal with that. All right, Andrew, let's get out of here. Thank you so much for listening to the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Huge week ahead. Please do us a quick favor. Go into iTunes. Leave us a comment and a rating. 5 stars would be great. And let us know what you think of the podcast. It helps us get the podcast out to new listeners. And if you subscribe, that is the fastest way to get the podcast to your listening device. It will literally get to you as I hit submit on this little computer here. And we always, once again, appreciate you listening. Enjoy the Super Bowl. And enjoy, hopefully, a huge week for the Jayhawks. Find me at Jayhawk Talk. Find Andrew at Sherlock Hoops. And we will catch you next weekend on the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Rock y'all. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing, with no team that's interfering, 9 times get the cheering, with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now, yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, this baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.